Well, welcome everyone. Just a reminder to everyone, the meeting's being recorded and the recording is gonna go on the website and we'll send around the notes to the applicant team. Also, we're gonna begin with a presentation from you all for about 10 to 15 minutes. We'll have discussion with the panel and then we will have, for this project, because you're at the sketch plan phase, we will have a discussion of the public benefit points and then a straw vote from the panel. This is 4915 and 4921 Auburn Avenue. And again, it's at sketch plan phase, and I'll turn it over to the team to give more background information. If you want to introduce yourself,
sure.
Please go ahead.
Sure. So my name is Stacy Silver. I'm good to see you all. I'm an attorney with Trillium Brewer, and very pleased to be here today with this development team.
Brian Gelfand. Property Auburn Building Associates.
Jeff Perana, who's also part of the development team, and Liz Rogers, and we're very blessed with a very creative team that's been looking at this edge property in terms of how to blend in the proposed development with the surrounding Woodmont Avenue community and also the neighboring residents. The projects will be up to 175,000 square feet, up to 180 units, and about 12,500 square feet maximum of commercial development. That's what we're looking at. We'll be finalized the time of site plan. As Laura had mentioned, we'll be talking about a few things in terms of the design as well as the public points. So with that, I'll turn it over to Robert and Felipe.
Thank you. And I'm joined by Felipe Powell here, who really did most of the work on the project. So if you have any questions. So I'm going to talk a little bit about the context to begin, because that's sort of where we started in generating ideas for the building. You know, I think one of the things that architecture can do is help mediate urban context situations, unusual conditions that you have in urban context. This is, I think, one of those cases. We have to the north of us along Auburn and Norfolk, a small enclave of a smaller scale buildings, residential buildings adjacent to our site, and then transitioning to taller buildings by zoning to the east of us across Auburn Avenue. So we saw very much this building as the need to mediate that contextual change across its west to east direction. In addition, you know, just the idea of providing the beginnings for the vision of Norfolk Avenue as a shared street that could be a really wonderful addition in the center of the Woodmont Triangle. Woodmont Triangle itself, I think, is the most compelling area in Bethesda for me because of its strong urban plan, its strong urban character, and you know, I personally believe that cities and neighborhoods are more interesting when there's different characters in different parts of the cities. Everything shouldn't look the same. So whereas downtown Bethesda may be kind of slick and glass and kind of polished, we thought this could be something a little bit different over here, and that would fit in very well with the character. So just to show some images of that context, the other noteworthy element in the Triangle District is the unusually long urban blocks that exist here. I think they're upwards of 1,000 feet long from end to end, some of them, without connections through them necessarily always. So the other thought that came out of kind of a working session with the staff here was to further a breakdown in the scale of the urban parcel as part of the project planning. So as you can see, there's already a lot of density and taller buildings around. These are images of the immediate context. Our site is right here. You can see this little pocket enclave. It's in between taller buildings on either side of it. We're also near Battery Lane Park to the north of us. Let me go back a slide. I'm sitting right up here. So between Battery Park, Norfolk Avenue, this contextual situation, and just the beginnings, let's say, of Norfolk Lane, we put together our thoughts on what would be an appropriate building here to provide on the site. This is the existing conditions on the site. There's a three-story building. There are three curb cuts on the site today, surface parking, three curb cuts, one of which would otherwise interrupt the idea of Norfolk as a kind of pedestrian-friendly shared street. So that was big thinking. And obviously, one of the things we always try to do is consolidate servicing entrances and servicing points so that our ground planes and our street treatments are as amenable and pedestrian-friendly as possible. So rebooting the access to a more consolidated approach was obviously very important to us. Here are some images of the site in context. I want to show a picture of what's right across the street, which is the Imagination Stage building, which is about 70 or 80 feet tall with a theater. It's a parking garage that has the theater in it. It's kind of a tall building directly across the street. And then, so we began by just looking at the guidelines for the design in this neighborhood. And these are sections you probably are very familiar with. We have two frontages. Each one has a slightly different shouldering recommended to it. Also noteworthy, so to begin with Norfolk, it's a little bit shorter. I think the height on Norfolk is 25 to 50 feet before we shoulder, and on Auburn, it's a little bit taller.
Mm-hmm.
It's 70?
70
feet before we shoulder.
75 to 70.
As a building that is on the shorter side of things, though, this is 120, it's in the 120 foot range, it's 122 feet in building height. The alternative methods are articulated in the guidelines to maybe do something a little bit differently with these setbacks. So the big motivation for our design here is this contextual relationship between the smaller scale and the larger scale. So we provided I think more than an equivalent amount of setbacks that would be mandated prescriptively in a different way in our design. And that's kind of the big idea for the building that we want to talk to you about. These are some images of different modes of articulation. I think the general idea here is just to do something interesting architecturally. Don't do big blank walls, don't do flat surfaces, but make architecture interesting and scale to the street. What we sort of took away from that. The other guiding idea was the idea of, again, from the county planning guidelines, they're breaking down the block. There's a couple things I wanted to highlight here. Stacy has shown the idea of a through block connection, but there's also something about diverse mixed use developments in this neighborhood. So the idea of bringing residential to Auburn, it would be the first residential street on Auburn Avenue, is also, I think, something important that we're doing on this site. So enhancing connectivity through block, breaking down the large urban parcels, and providing uses that are otherwise not there today on the street is very important. So then after this kind of initial looking and studying of the site, we outline our goals. I'm just going to highlight the ones, I think the most poignant ones. So the compatibility through adjacent uses and massing is kind of where we started on the building concept. But in addition to that, providing a through block connection to link Auburn Avenue to the park and to Norfolk Avenue as much as possible was very important. Affordable housing in the neighborhood we're doing as part of our prescriptive requirements, and unique architecture and then unique triangle district character. I think those are kind of the big goals for us as a team. If I forgot any, Bill, just jump in.
Sure.
Obviously, we're doing a sustainable building in terms of water treatment and things as well. Okay, so the first diagram just talks about those big ideas. If you take a step back and you can see here the length of these parcels, and these just continue all the way down to Wisconsin and Woodmont, there's the scale of this urban pattern, which is unique, and I like it, but providing relief is also very important. So just across the street next to Imagination Stage, there's a through block connection. We thought that combining the notion of Norfolk as a shared destination pedestrian street, Battery Lane Park, and the long block issue, that another cut through here to a public space from Auburn to the corner. We're going to provide a little parklet along Norfolk Avenue to start the idea of the shared street that I'll show you in a moment. And Bill, maybe you can speak to that when we get to it. Those things all together combine to give us this a strong idea about a mid-block connection. Architecturally, you can see the footprint of Imagination Stage, and this could go up even taller in the future. We conceived of the building very differently. It's a series of smaller volumes that sort of cascade down from Auburn Avenue to the smaller scale to the which is actually the northwest. So these guiding principles help us every decision we make. We go back to these principles, we try to reinforce them and strengthen them as we go through the project. So beginning with the through block connection idea and Norfolk Avenue, this is an image of our proposal seen from the very western end, the very beginnings of Norfolk Avenue, the shared street. You can see the idea of the guidelines having these shoulders. So we sort of set out as an entree one of our volumes on the street, which will be a retail use, beginning that whole notion of a shared commercial street. It's a three-story volume at the most, matching the height of the existing building directly to our northeast, I guess, and then we step back behind this. So you can see how little of the building you see from this perspective because of the unique massing that we've approached this with. There's the Norfolk guidelines. You can see the shoulders on both sides, and here's how we fit in with it. And the parklet, which is also important at the very beginning of the street, to have a parklet that could be expanded public space on the sidewalk zone. Eventually, this, I think, will all be a flush street, which would be really wonderful in Bethesda. And then on the ground plane, this idea of a, what we're really doing is combining different things in one place. A consolidated loading, parking, and service entry point that does not have any exterior facade appearance. So we're taking all of the servicing elements that we need, we're putting them on the interior off the streets so that that frontage is all very good frontage urbanistically. And we're combining it with a, the whole thing can be a shared pedestrian route, but there is a dedicated pedestrian zone of about 10 feet on the northeast side of it. And that connects through to a park, to the small neighborhood, and then up to Battery Lane as well. So parking is on the west side, loading is on the east side, and we're pushing those kind of away from this central area so they're not, so they're as little seen as possible, and letting the public through that to Norfolk Avenue. So that's the first. And if you want to stop me at any point.
Can you show us the parklet on the site plan? That's
right there.
Yeah.
Right there, yeah. And Bill, what is it? It's about 10 by 30 feet, I would say, in terms of size.
Yeah, something on the order of that,
So a little bit of an occupied parking spot as an extension of the public sidewalk in the interim, let's say. Okay, and then on the building design, as I mentioned, you know, there was actually previously a building approved that was a little more conventional in terms of its massing approach, and what you're looking at here is from the neighborhood that's to the northwest back towards Auburn Avenue. So this is Norfolk here. Auburn is behind the building. This is the side we were most sensitive to the context issue of scale, and what we did is we composed the building of a series of 3 to 4 story volumes that cascade back from Norfolk towards Auburn. They inflect, and by the time you get to the top, the building is shorter than by 2 or 3 stories here. And they create a scale for the building, which we think is appropriate to the neighborhood. It's a different approach architecturally than we typically do. The areas shown here are the setback areas that we're providing from that volume. So as opposed to using the prescriptive 10 or 15 foot zone, we've taken it and we've focused it to the northwest to provide this interesting architectural effect. There are setbacks along Auburn Avenue as well, but it isn't the prescriptive diagram of 10 foot setback, shoulder straight up. It's a different approach architecturally. It's a series of volumes that are arranged to provide this scale. That's what we thought was most important on this site. And we'll show you more on that as we get to it. Also, the connection, or to provide the connection, we're lifting up the ground floor quite a bit. It's about a 22 feet floor to floor, so it'll be a very nice, ample pedestrian throughway. And there's actually a local example of this kind of an urban space. Obviously, I can reference buildings in Europe and everything, but to keep it local and keep it easy, the Bethesda Lane project, which Federal Realty did a number of years ago, has an interior muse, and at the end of each of those is about a 50-foot covered accessway, also Rose Wharf in Boston is another example, but to keep it local for everybody. Both ends of that are about a 45 to 50 foot wide 1 to 2 story opening that you pass through to get into the main space. So this is analogous to that. It's a little bit deeper. It'll be in the 60 to 70 foot range, but we're also staggering the heights on the backside to make it open as you move through in sections. So I think it's I think it could be a very interesting urban space, and we're lining both sides of it with entrances and retail, and importantly, allowing the public through to Norfolk Lane and Battery Park. We think it's you know, just something very important urbanistically that we can offer. And then combining it with the servicing gives us a very nice package at the ground floor urbanistically.
So it's a shared street.
It's a shared street. It's a shared
street. To use it connected to the
current.
Shared
alley. Shared alley. A true shared street. So here are some other examples of this kind of architecture. On City Center, which is a project I was design principal for this central building, we did some shouldering, not nearly as dramatically as we're doing here, but we shouldered the building as well for an interior alley network. There's an example. And Felipe, where's this one from? Where in Europe is this one from? It's another example of some a volumetric approach to the architecture, as opposed to thinking of it as somewhere in Scandinavia. So thinking of the building as an aggregate of smaller volumes stacked up, as opposed to a big building that's been articulated to make it look small, was the idea, right? Mm-hmm. So this is a cross-section showing that relationship. The future to the east of Auburn is above Imagination Stage is shown, in addition to the adjacency to the west. Along Norfolk Avenue, you can see how our profile fits in with the idea of the shared shouldered street, a very pedestrian friendly at 2 to 3 stories and big setbacks from Norfolk with our kind of first volume kind of stepping and beginning out on Norfolk Avenue as an activator. And then images, Felipe has these wonderful images of outdoor shared areas, which will relate to Norfolk. And then on the building on Auburn Avenue, we had a couple meetings after the original submission with county staff and internally as a team to look at different ways. Elza suggested that we just show a couple of different options of how we might articulate the building on Auburn. And again, I do want to make it obviously clear that we are not showing the whole building pushed back 10 feet from this side. Instead, what we're doing is we're stepping it at the top, we're stepping it at the sides, we're providing the mid-block connection, and we're providing a series of spaces vertically up through the building, kind of a large, couple different ideas. One is a large shoulder idea, the other is a series of gaps analogous to these images that would provide, I think, an appropriate east facade to the west facade volumes that are cascading down to the neighborhood. So if you said, for example, well, give us that 10 feet on Auburn, it would mean we'd push into the setbacks on the west. Mm-hmm. I mean, we could do it, that's what it would mean, right? So we thought it was appropriate to, because we're in the small height range of things, we thought it would be appropriate to provide interesting articulation, but focus it, as I mentioned, to the west. But that was our approach. We would love to hear what you guys think. And then images of the through block connection. Felipe, this one is Seattle, I think, where there's a dance space at night with a light show underneath it. This is Funkhofer in Munich, which is underneath a corporate insurance headquarters in the center of Munich. It's all underground, and it's lighting and reflectivity and things that make it great. For the shared street aspect, this is Katie's Alley in Georgetown. City Center has a covering that you walk through on your way in. And then working with Bill and the landscape team, we'll design a beautiful public carpet that connects Auburn Avenue through to the passageway behind. Then to put this building in context with what's there today and what's potentially coming, we like to show how things fit today and in the future. So here is the envelope of allowable heights all around the building, basically, from Norfolk to Auburn. We're actually below, we step down below those heights, but we go up to that 120, as I mentioned, stepping down from that. Across the street, things go much taller. Norfolk has a shoulder and then goes taller. So here's basically just how the building fits in from vantage points. These are focused more on the west than on the east, admittedly. And then a building section and floor plan that show you how we're doing this in residential. There is a lot you can do with residential unit design, as architects probably know. You can design units that are, we have good floor-to-floor heights for all the floors. So you can design the units kind of horizontally. You can do internal bedroom units that are off the glass and that are longer and thinner. And you can provide outdoor space. So if you take those variables, you can get a manipulation in the double-loaded corridor system to extend and retract the building mass. By the time we get to the top of the building, it's a single-loaded corridor. But down below the building, it's a series of cascading bays off a very simple double-loaded corridor system. And here you can see the section through it. So it's a lot of single-loaded floors and then double-loaded below with different varying depths below that. From a roof plan, it would look like your garage. It would look like a series of boxes stacked up in the corner along the street. And we will be doing residential outdoor amenity terraces here. Some green roof sustainability work on these roofs as well for water treatment and quality. And again, we're maximizing the height of the connection to make that as wonderful a space as possible. Here is the building in the larger Bethesda context. So you can see the volumes again, west to east. Parking plan, we don't need to go into too much detail there. If you want to, we can come back. And
go back to the shared street concept.
Okay. Is this the end?
Yes.
Okay, the end. There's one more. Okay.
That's
These are just highlights from the through blocks connections. Uh-huh. So we didn't want to end on the parking plan.
No.
Good idea.
So there's our proposal on Auburn and Norfolk Avenue. As Stacey mentioned, it's up to 122 feet, lots of outdoor space. I'd say 170 to 190 units total, depending on the market when we get further into site plan. And this is our first pass at it as a sketch plan proposal. So I can go back and take any questions or concerns.
So top left of this.
Let me go back to the better slide, because it is.
That title.
you had a previously approved project. Do you have any, what was that? Was that a site plan approved?
It was a project plan that was approved by the CBD, Central Business District Zone. And the project, basically, there were not kind of the step back requirements adjacent to the single family home. So the, actually the image that you had on that last slide is actually a good one.
Okay. So go to the end?
Yeah.
There were different properties involved to
it went to the corner. So basically the first project, the approval included the corner piece along Norfolk and Auburn. It wasn't, it's never been under the same ownership.
Two more.
So they had a deal, basically, that you go back one.
Oh, sorry.
No, they're talking about this.
So, yep. So what you're seeing on the left-hand side is volumetrically, basically what was originally kind of approved.
All I meant by that was, you know, that's how most buildings look. Most buildings that we do at urban centers are simple rectangular vibes. This just called for something different.
So it gave us an opportunity with bringing Shalom Bronis involved to kind of be a little more creative and carve the building a bit more. So we're happy
and,
we're very happy.
We think the owners, you know, the owners embraced it right away. I think it's to their credit, the whole development team's credit. They saw that it was important to make that transition of scale.
One of the things, I guess one of the things that's kind of most telling about it is we had a our community meeting as we filed the application, and we had, people were very happy about kind of how it was designed, you know, in terms of the relationship with the single family homes, which is always challenging. You never know what your kind of comments you're going to get in each property, but we've got very favorable responses.
Yeah, I was just curious from the development perspective why you were coming in with the new
well, it's not a money making strategy.
Just understanding that at one time it was a larger project.
A larger,
right? So you have to come back.
Then the recession occurred, and actually the project ended up expiring. So we were coming out with the new CR zone.
So the corner property is off the table now.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And actually, I think that's good for your Norfolk Street side.
Well, I can't see what was approved before, but just seeing what you're proposing, generally, you know, I guess I'll kick off the comments.
Yeah.
Generally, very much like the concept. It's very interesting.
Here's the existing building for everybody to reference. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it just gives you automatically variety, scale, low shouldering on Norfolk, which is everything that the guidelines were
one
looking
or
for.
Two stories.
This
stories?
One is two, a tall two, I think.
Tall
yeah.
Two.
Yeah.
What's in
it?
It's a nail salon.
Yeah.
Yeah,
well, it might change. When things get better, it might change out there.
There's a market, there's a French market corner.
So, do you have any drawings that talk about the fence between the houses and your pedestrian way, et cetera, and what that whole landscape idea is going to be about?
Yeah. The landscape plan. We'll have more.
I'm
going
to turn that over to Bill and Josh on the landscape side. Let's see. That's up here, right, Philippa?
Yes. Keep going. No.
And this is open 24/7.
Oh, it just takes a lot of load.
Yes,
you know,
a lot.
There's some discussion in the guidelines of basically kind of a certain time period. I think is it 9 to
8?
Oh, okay, there we go.
That's probably smart because.
Do you want to walk through the.
Obviously.
You're fine.
Yeah.
Okay.
Issues about lighting and issues about access and issues about safety and stuff like that. So essentially, there are going to be fences on the back sides of all these properties.
That's correct.
They're probably varied. And is there going to be any kind of idea to coordinate all those in order to create your side of the fence, if you will,
nice idea.
In terms of
a
continuity and paving patterns.
So make it feel more
purposeful. Tree types
and
more purposeful. Right.
That's nice idea.
I think that would be very important.
Okay.
And the idea.
And coordinated with landscaping to do the same.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. And access, I think, is a very good idea.
Sure.
To have that 24/7.
Sure.
But to have it
closed
off at night or something.
Just for the residents?
Well, I don't know. In
for
other
the
words, I'm worried about, you know, safety.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
You know, after dark, you know, passing from there, you know, and they're not going to necessarily be light. I mean, the stores might not be open, et cetera. And all that. And so where would those barriers be that you would close? They would be obviously all the way over there.
Beyond the garage.
I guess I would do them at the back. If we had to do them, I would do them. Let's see.
Yeah.
this thing working? I would do them, yeah. Do them here, excuse me, Bill.
Don't touch the screen.
At the back.
Yeah, Bill, yeah.
Somewhere back there. Oops. Don't touch the screen.
Don't touch the screen.
It's a smart screen.
It's a smart screen. Sorry about that.
That's, see, that's one of the things that I think screen. Would have to be worked out
yeah. Sure.
In terms of that, because safety would be very important.
Right.
Obviously.
Not just for the public, but for our own residents as
oh,
well.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I think, well, go ahead.
Bill, were you going to say more about the
Well, I was just going to say that there's a little bit of a challenge for us in that there is yeah. an easement along the common property line for an existing storm drain that's been there for
right.
about 60 plus years. And it's an enormous storm drain buried in the ground there, which does have some effect in terms of how we construct the fence, and there will be a fence, but also in terms of planting materials
yeah.
and such. But we think we can come up with a good scheme that will be attractive both to the general public as well as to our own residents.
Usually you can't put full-size trees right there because
mm-hmm.
there's access.
That's
yeah.
correct. That's correct. Because conceivably, the county could come in at any time
about a vertical
and
green?
Within
vertical
that
green.
Easement area
yeah.
and conduct maintenance.
Tear it up.
How about a vertical
Tear
vertical
up.
Green
yeah.
on the fence? Could we do a vertical green screen? On
yes,
the
and we've
yeah.
contemplated
yeah.
that as well. Right. We want to green it as much as we possibly can.
That'd be nice,
can.
Yeah.
And so entrances to the commercial.
Yeah.
Along
so we'll have the way on our current plans, the core is over here. So the residential
mm-hmm.
lobby could either be just off the corner if we get a good retail tenant there. And I would minimize the lobby on the street and maximize the retail personally.
Right.
But there'd be retail tenants, at least two on this side and another two down here. I think it'd be nice to have retail entrances on the pedestrian way around the corner. Most retailers would want that. And then a second lobby entrance in the alley off this pedestrian way as well, I think would be nice, just to make it convenient.
The lobby
to, folks.
To the residential.
To the residential lobby,
right.
yeah.
And then
the
commercial. The
south plate is all commercial.
Right, and then the commercial up in the triangle.
Yeah.
That'll have its own, it'll be serviced from the same spot in the back, but it'll
here,
have its own
right
door on right on the, yeah. No yeah. Folk, what do we call it? Pad, the little public pad there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, no, I think it would be on the street, wouldn't it? It would be
yeah,
where the arrow is.
Yeah.
Somewhere
right,
there,
right.
Yeah.
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 Or the
park.
It should be noted
they
that
use the if it's a restaurant,
no on street parking would be sacrificed for that parklet. There's a driveway entrance there today. So
it's our driveway entrance.
We recognize
yes.
The sanctity and importance of on street parking, both in terms of value to the county, but also to help activate the street.
No on-street parking was harmed
during this project.
Yeah.
That's
terrific.
So I know it's really early, but do you have any ideas for what those retail tenants could be on the ground floor? My only concern with this scheme is if it's vacant, then what happens to that mid-block connection? Would it be used? Would it just, I know it's
keeping
very
it open and flexible at the moment. Mm-hmm. We haven't made any determinations.
So it could be anything from a true retail type of a user. It could be a child daycare. I mean, there's so many even kind of non-traditional
mm-hmm.
activating type uses.
Daycare is very
big
right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Getting daycare spots in these projects is all of a sudden a huge issue. Yeah.
But definitely a focus in terms of kind of whatever it is to be an activating type use.
Child daycare actually might work well with the
it
imagination.
Would work well, yeah.
There's actually already a daycare.
Oh, is
there
one?
Currently, yes.
Yeah.
I think, looking back at the big picture in this project, it's a very selfless project in that it's taking consideration of the context above all else to a certain degree. Now, I know you're not doing this just to be generous citizens, but on the other hand, it is unusual to have the ability to respond so effectively to the adjacencies to the west and north, and some compromise on the main street facade is implied because
that's,
of that, but I
question,
think that
yeah.
that's, you know, that's an easy conditioned away.
Mm-hmm.
I think the certainly the massing that you're going to achieve is very special in the context of not only Bethesda but almost anywhere else. And I guess you're able to do that. It's interesting that you're able to achieve your density within the height that you've got and still sacrifice or not sacrifice but give up large chunks of the building. So that is fortuitous. However you arrived at that, it certainly
yeah.
makes the west side of the building extremely effective from a citizen. They should be delighted.
And you will see it, I think, from when you're down on Norfolk by the park. You'll look back, I think, from
the park
side. You'll see it. So it isn't just back there, nobody will see it. It'll,
because of the open space behind it, it's going to be, and the low rise.
And the low scale on Norfolk.
It's going to be visible, which I think will be very effective. I think I'm a big fan of through the building, through block connectors.
Me too.
I think those kinds of spaces, I think the ability that you have to partially open it, partially close it, it's going to make it an interesting space as you come through. Plus the shared use aspect of it, it has to be handled delicately. We, you know, it is the main access for people coming in, driving into the building. So I would be concerned that there might be some pedestrian hierarchy.
Yes, we
created.
Do plan on doing that.
I'm not.
I mean, our traffic engineer isn't here, but I'll tell you from my experience on these residential projects, it's amazing how little traffic there is during the day. So it's a morning evening concern primarily, I think, where people are leaving, coming home.
It's rushing.
On the loading side, maybe one service trip a day on a building like this.
Except
one
on
or
weekends,
two.
The first of the month.
Except for weekends when people are moving in. But so that's why we put the pedestrian access on the moving side as opposed to the car side, so we alleviate that crossing.
And
that was the thinking, right?
Can you go back to that plan?
Yes.
That
ground floor?
Yeah, that ground floor plan. So they're going to have to do a T to get into the loading, right?
Loading comes up,
comes in,
and they
back in,
come
right,
up and
right,
they
right,
back in.
Okay.
Yeah. And that is the crossing we have to be.
How wide is that?
Right now it's 10 and about 22. Bill, is there a minimum by code here? 22, 23?
Well, 20.
Otherwise, we usually
do 20. Two-way movement.
Yeah. Yeah.
We
so
20 is the minimum.
32 to 33.
Yes.
And it's a fairly clean three-point turn.
Yeah.
To get trucks.
One,
they're
two,
smaller SUV type size trucks.
Okay.
And then the right will go in and you'll hang up and stay on the right, and then you come out on the right. I'm thinking in London, the only place where you can drive on the right is Savoy Theater. And I've been trying to figure out exactly how leaving and entering
as a truck or as a parking garage.
No, parking.
Oh yeah, so they would come in. It's hard to read here, but from here to here is the parking travel.
And that's
so they'd come in where the arrow is,
and
then they'd leave on the right side here. So if people are walking through here, if there's any traffic, they'll walk over to the pedestrians.
Okay, so I'm thinking when I
bollards or something.
When I look as I walk along the sidewalk or if I'm across the street and I come out of the theater, etc. You want to have something that you're going to be walking to.
Yes, we like the idea.
And so in a sense, you need that sort of node back there.
Yeah.
And when you're coming down the diagonal to that place, I think that's going to be very critical to have a very, you know.
I'm not sure Bill mentioned it, but that was in our plan that the end point of that fence would be a landmark type point to draw
it could be beautiful lighting, it could be art. My mouse is not working,
but you mentioned lighting,
some sort of ornamental wall or fence that
And similarly I think from this viewpoint,
that view is going to be important too.
To terminate the view here,
you're going
to
have a kind of a
conversions of
a conversion
two.
So I think that's going to really require some very good paving, whatever.
To make sure that
people know that they can go there. So,
right.
Yeah.
You know,
welcoming.
If I want to go there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then,
we're bringing the pavement down. Right. You're bringing the pavement down to the street.
Right. Well, we're extending the carpet through to rolling out the red carpet, if you will, for the public. Mm-hmm. So, hopefully, they'll understand it. But I think seeing something through there, and seeing seating even through there, so people know.
We want to make it as seamless as possible all the way through. So
what are those black hatch lines above the that right there?
That's like a trellis.
That's a trellis.
Mm-hmm.
A seating area trellis. And then this is bioretention, I guess, Bill? Yeah. And the walkway mirrors the trellis and continues out.
Those are catenary lights. You see the zigzag.
The zigzag.
That's lighting above, ceiling lighting. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just gonna mention that and covered pedestrian passages, and you know it better.
Lighting is
critical.
Very, very.
Fortunately, LED makes that lighting so much more intense and sustainable. Not only that, environmentally, I mean, it's a huge difference. So,
huge difference. Yeah. I think that's very appropriate, especially up until 9:30 at night or something.
Well, even during the day, in my humble opinion.
Underneath, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
Keep it on.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's the night you can do that with LED.
That
and
also tells
bright.
You you're welcome, right?
Yeah. I mean, we forget that too often, and unfortunately, it's a big problem.
Yeah. I think it's a very, very, very sound stacking of volumes. I think it's very good.
Oh, I think it's a terrific
idea. I think it's a terrific idea.
And I think by the way that you know, again, the Main Street facade and not being able to fully comply with recommendation is easy to justify.
Yeah.
But I think at the next stage, you mentioned a number of elements that you're going to think about in that facade. While I'm sure they will be great, emphasizing those and developing them will be important. In the rationalization aspect of it.
But this is where our minds are on that side, is something with depth and and that works, you know, these types of articulation work well with residential because you get outdoor space. So
I think that the I've given a lot of comments on this through process already, but I really like the building, and I think that it has a tremendous opportunity here to be something special at the end of that, of those streets. And I think, you know, I just as looking at this, I think the bottom diagram might be, you know, it gives you a little bit more of a sense of sort of having a base and then the two wings
versus a more model.
That one's going to be a very flat surface with the punches.
Okay.
I think you know, the articulation at the bottom shows, I think, might be a little bit
better. I think the bottom one.
Okay.
I agree.
Yeah. But I think that, you know, I love the passage through. I love the articulation in the back. I think all of this is a very nice design.
No. Not to mention the fact that the presentation was very clear.
Oh, thank you. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you.
We appreciate that.
Filippo, thank you.
No, none of that is housing up there. And
this one is actually.
It's the
middle
Pixel
one.
Building.
Yeah.
That's housing.
That's
housing.
What do you think that is?
Housing. That's
Filippo.
The Pixel building. It's an office building.
That's office.
That's
I'm
office.
Really, I'm
it's
really
like
it.
The deck.
Not, this could go either way, but this one is.
That's, that one is residential. And
this is
Copenhagen.
That's like Stan Williams, that one on the far right.
Okay.
And then sort of Eric Perry down here on the left. But,
mm-hmm.
I think there's a...
That one is certainly residential.
That's residential.
Yeah.
And I think that's residential too.
Because that's going to be very important, is how articulated is it?
Yeah.
Or are there going to be big openings? Or is it going to be stacked boxes?
Right.
Or is it going to be more fine grain, et cetera?
Right.
Can you go back to the site plan last time?
The ground floor plan?
Yeah, ground floor. I just have one thought.
Yeah.
It might be smart for a presentation that if there are trees in the backyards of these houses and everything, to have those show up on your site plan, because that might help make it more
transition
landscapey, if you will, because that thin...
There's probably big existing trees back there.
Yeah, there's probably,
there's
some pretty good sized trees, et cetera.
Some are, and we're doing our best to mitigate the impact.
On the other side.
I mean, even in the neighbors.
On the neighbors.
Yeah,
yes,
those will all.
Yeah.
Is this planned to be ownership or rental?
I think currently apartments.
Apartments.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Everything, as you know, everything.
Well, is it Tuesday or Thursday? I'm not sure. Oh, yeah.
So one last thing that our colleague mentioned, this is a contemporary design building and the paving design looks outdated. Consider having more contemporary paving design in the through block area. I have no idea where she's
pulling
that from. But
she's just diagramatic.
Maybe
she's
very schematic, but she's saying have them work together.
Yeah,
have them work
together.
I think
that's a good point. That's easy.
Yeah.
The perimeter is all given.
Yeah.
I understand that.
Yeah.
Have you given any thoughts yet to materiality of your solids?
We have. We've considered a lot of things. We really like the idea of wood.
Wow.
Bit unusual, yeah. So we're exploring that in addition to the usual suspects.
Cool.
Metal buildings, terracotta buildings.
Well, we're seeing good directions in that material. So.
Yeah.
Wood, and when I say wood, it's you know, wood with something. As you know, you can do wood on a laminate as part of a laminate product for exterior green screens.
But
phenolic resin sandwich.
But that would be
a wonderful,
another exciting
direction.
Yeah,
we think so too. Yeah. So we're just starting to explore those. Right. Any other thoughts
on the materials?
Yeah, that we've talked about that we want to share.
No, we just talk about brick, wood,
titanium,
precast.
Titanium.
Precast.
That's why I sit this end of the table for Brian, so we can offer with safety.
Money is no option.
Right.
But one of the things that Robert and Philippe have been talking about is kind of acknowledging that Woodlawn is different than Wisconsin Avenue. And
no, I heard that in the beginning. That's why I was curious.
I think
where
you guys
thinking.
Should encourage that. This is a different neighborhood over here than downtown with the glass and steel and do something really. It's so wonderful, such a wonderful urban area. Yeah.
I'd like to live in this building.
Get two units.
Combine two units.
When you downsize.
Not going to happen. My wife won't move.
When you downsize, you might want to get three units, right?
Yeah, exactly.
I'm just putting in an elevator, so we're not downsizing.
Thank you all very much.
Thank you for an excellent presentation.
So I'm going to just summarize these comments and then we're going to go into the discussion with the public. So it sounds like generally folks are very supportive of the massing and think that this will be a special building in this direction, but that there are some details, particularly on the through block connection, how the fence becomes continuous, make sure that there's lighting day and night, make sure that it's a safe place to consider how the operations work. And also making sure that they're there to hire pedestrians in the space. But generally, it's sounding like the panel is supportive of the height of the through block connection, et cetera. That was what staff was concerned with, so I just want to make sure.
What, they didn't think it was high enough?
Yeah, so that was a concern. Is the height too low? And
we're doing, worried about 22 floor to floor, so you get 20 feet clear.
Not to mention the fact it's not all, it's part
very,
of it's open, too.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
Yeah. It opens up on the west side.
Well, we're seeing big progress in that in other areas, so I don't think we should be as afraid of it as we might have been a few years ago.
Yeah, I agree.
I'd like to add one last thing. I think there has to be a lot of transparency on both sides of the commercial
glass.
Well, it can be Tiffany great windows, or it could be all glass, but I think there has to be real attention to
the
porosity, if you will,
on
this, on this,
on the connection.
Okay.
I think also that the idea of a focal point to connect the streets to the middle.
Yes. Yes. And what the applicant said was that this might even be art or lighting of some sort of point. And you'll explore that further at site. And then in terms of the Auburn Avenue facade, it sounds like the panel's generally okay with the direction of the alternative treatments. You just want to see how you detail out those boxes. Is it fine grain? What is the size of the gaps, et cetera? All right.
Is it worth mentioning the preference for concept two?
Oh, okay. I can mention that.
I mean,
if that's a consensus preference for concept two. And then in terms of landscaping, I think the landscaping plan you also want to show existing trees as well. I think those were the major issues. Are there any others that you feel were missing there? We can move on to the conversation about exceptional design points. Do you feel like the project is headed in the right direction to reach the exceptional design points?
10, is that what you're...
I mean, it's a 10 minimum for every project.
I think you could be more aggressive.
Yeah.
Yes. We're asking for more than 10.
Right. We just say, now we just need to know that at least they could reach the 10.
Yeah.
And with that, then we could go ahead and do a straw vote for those that either support or support with conditions. So I'll start with support the project. All four. Okay. So, all right. So the project will come back at site plan. Are there any other issues you all want to bring up? Are there any questions that you have?
What's the schedule for site plan? What are you guys thinking for?
Well, our hearing is at the end of September, right?
Oh, it's already booked.
27.
Okay. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
27.
And then her intent is to file for site, you know, as soon as we're able to after that.
Excellent.
Thank you very much.
Thank you all.
Comments.
Yeah, good comments.
Thank you.